KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have partly sunny skies and some light snow flurries here in Atlantic. We look for it to be partly cloudy to cloudy and breezy today with scattered snow showers through about noon and then a chance of rain or snow, a high of 39. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. The Sac County Sheriff's Office is asking for your help in locating a former Odebolt couple, Jennifer Cool and Justin Seigner, both of whom are wanted in Sac County on child endangerment charges. Cool and Seigner and their one-year-old daughter are believed to be in the Denison area. There's a picture of the couple under this same story on the news page at KJAN.com. If you have any information regarding the couple's whereabouts, you're asked to contact your local law enforcement agency or the Sac County Sheriff's Office at 712-662-7127. The Shelby County Emergency Management Agency said yesterday it was advising fire stations and businesses in the county with fire danger signs to leave those signs in the high category. National Weather Service says there is a chance of light snow today, but any accumulation will quickly melt away as highs reach the upper 30s to lower 40s. The lack of significant precipitation over the past few weeks has left vegetation in Shelby County very dry, which, with combined with relatively low humidity and some winds, makes for dangerous fire conditions. The Shelby County EMA said you should remember to call your controlled burns into the EMA Communications Center at 712-755-2124 and contact your local fire chief before igniting any outdoor burns. The best time to do so, officials have said, is during the late evening or early morning hours. The next fire danger update from the Shelby County Emergency Management Office will be sometime on Monday. Elsewhere in state news, officials say Northwest Iowa Utilities will receive $19 million in federal funding to repair electrical systems that were damaged in a 2013 ice storm. Governor Terry Branstad announced Friday that the FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, reversed a previous denial of disaster aid to three rural electric cooperatives and one municipal utility. An ice storm in April of 2013 caused millions of dollars in damage to electric utility lines in Dickinson, Lyon, O'Brien, Osceola, and Sioux counties. In August of 2013, FEMA denied a request for $19 million to repair the damaged lines, saying there was no verification that the damage was a direct result of the storm. The Iowa Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management appealed the denial twice before the funding was approved. Iowa Secretary of State Paul Pate Friday night announced the filing period for state and federal candidates had come to a close. A total of 249 candidates submitted their nominating petitions to the Secretary of State's office. Four candidates have filed the necessary paperwork, qualifying to compete in June's Democratic nomination for the U.S. Senate. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Former Lieutenant Governor Patty Judge of Albia, State Senator Rob Hogue of Cedar Rapids, and two former legislators who ran for the U.S. Senate in 2010 are hoping to win their party's 2016 nomination. The winner will challenge longtime Republican U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley in November. Republican and Democratic candidates for federal office, as well as the state legislature, faced a deadline Friday. They had to file enough petition signatures in the Secretary of State's office to qualify for their party's June primary ballot. Three of Iowa's four congressional districts will have primaries. Republican Congressman Steve King faces a challenge from fellow Republican Rick Bertrand, a state senator from Sioux City. In the 3rd Congressional District, three Central Iowa Democrats, Desmond Adams, Jim Maurer, and Mike Sherzan, are running in a primary. Two Democrats filed the paperwork to run in Iowa's 1st Congressional District. The race between Cedar Rapids City Councilwoman Monica Vernon and former Iowa House Speaker Pat Murphy of Dubuque is a rematch from 2 years ago. Five Democrats competed in a primary then. Murphy won, but he lost to Republican Rod Blum in November. Blum, Republican Congressman David Young of Van Meter, and Congressman Dave Loebsack, a Democrat from Iowa City, are all seeking re-election. Dr. Christopher Peters of Iowa City filed to run as a Republican in Loebsack's district, but state officials say they are waiting for him to submit the original rather than a copy of one form to secure his name on the ballot. I'm okay, Henderson.
All 100 seats in the Iowa House and 25 of the 50 seats in the Iowa Senate are on the ballot in 2016. No incumbent from either party in the Iowa Senate who is seeking re-election faces a primary challenge, but there are 9 incumbents in the House who must defeat a primary challenger in order to seek re-election this fall. You can go to the link under this same story on the news page at KJAN.com to see the full list of incumbents facing primaries. State policymakers are beginning to suspect more and more Iowans are shopping online rather than in bricks and mortar stores in the state. Data shows wages in Iowa are on the rise, but state sales tax receipts are barely growing.
We're trying to determine whether or not it is a softening of spending, or is it maybe a change in the way Iowans are purchasing products.
That's David Roeder, the governor's budget director. Iowans are to pay the state sales tax on purchases they make online from retailers with a physical presence in the state. But House Speaker Linda Upmeyer, a Republican from Clear Lake, says some businesses do not calculate the taxes for online purposes.
Maybe it's simply making Iowans more aware that they owe that tax and they're obligated to send that in if it's not being collected. It doesn't mean they don't owe it, but that they're on their own to submit it.
A buyer hears from Main Street businesses in Iowa who say it's unfair competition from online retailers.
There's also people that don't want us to collect it.
And the state sales tax receipts increased just 1% in February compared to the same month a year ago. In the past 8 months, sales tax payments to the state are up a little less than 1.5%. Experts had predicted consumer spending in Iowa would grow twice that much. Iowa's public universities aren't off the hook yet for refusing to pay millions of dollars in fees to a program that subsidizes health insurance for residents with health risks. The Iowa Supreme Court ruled Friday that the Iowa Individual Health Benefit Reinsurance Association can sue the universities to try and collect the unpaid fees. The decision overturned an appeals court, which ruled last year that the association didn't have the power to sue. The association contends that the universities, like all state agencies, school districts, and municipalities with self-funded health plans, are members and required to pay annual assessments. For years, the schools agreed and paid. But after the University of Iowa became self-insured in 2010, all three universities contended they were not covered by the law and stopped paying. A Texas company is asking utility regulators to expedite a permit to build a so-called Bakken oil pipeline through 18 counties in Iowa. The Iowa Utilities Board voted last week to approve plans by Dakota Access LLC for a pipeline that would transport up to 570,000 barrels of crude oil daily from North Dakota's Bakken oil fields to Patoka, Illinois. Dakota Access told the board this week that it has fulfilled the requirements it needs to receive a state permit. The company asked the board to expedite the permit so it can complete the project within one crop growing season to minimize the impact on farmers. Opponents claim the company wants to circumvent the law and keep Iowa residents in the dark. The Iowa Supreme Court has warned government officials that they cannot make decisions in private by negotiating agreements through third parties. The court ruled Friday that Iowa's open meetings law extends to all in-person meetings in which a majority of the board is present by virtue of an agent or a proxy. The first of its kind ruling in Iowa comes in a case involving the Warren County Board of Supervisors. To avoid discussing a controversial downsizing plan in public, the board's three members met individually with the county administrator to negotiate details. The administrator passed along concerns and feedbacks raised by members to the others. County employees who were laid off filed a lawsuit alleging the board had violated the open meetings law. Friday's 4-3 decision reinstates the case for further proceedings. And a lawyer has lost his second age bias lawsuit against the University of Iowa. A jury ruled this week that the university and its law school did not discriminate or retaliate against Donald Dobkin, who's now 62. Dobkin was 55 in 2008 when he wasn't hired for a law school teaching job that went instead to a younger candidate. He sued in 2009 and lost the case in 2012. He sued again in 2012, alleging the College of Law had discriminated against him in 2010 when he applied for a new opening. His lawsuit said the school instead hired a 40-year-old woman with less experience than he had. He also alleged the school had acted in a retaliatory manner because of his first lawsuit. Our news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.